WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Becky Bayless.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WCI Sunday night.
What the hell is this?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Do you know what this means?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Do you want to be a slacker for the rest of your life?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Why do you keep calling me, Calvin?
Heartbreak Mike.
Look, I don't want to mess with no reefer addicts, okay?
The Omega.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have Google Earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Fuck this company. Fuck Vince McMahon. Fuck Brock Lesnar. Cody was right.
I'm trying to process this.
I told you, Rock.
Tonight was Money in the Bank. We have opinions.
Oh, we ain't got opinions. Oh, unsubscriptions are happening.
We don't have opinions. We have major psychotic episodes.
I'll say this. Saudi's got money.
Yeah, money in Brock Lesnar's bank.
Yep.
Let's wait.
No, just do the intro.
Okay, we got to get into it. So this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
I really am not giving a fuck right now because I'm really upset about this. So hi, Heartbreak Mike, rage, fuck Vince.
And the one leading it all on the one who is finally sitting on the Iron Throne, the one and only Tim Stein.
We're going to give you, the fans, what you want.
When is that going to happen?
More Brock Lesnar. More screwed up finishes.
Please don't, because a lot of people are waiting for him outside the arena in Hartford.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Money in the Bank edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Great pay-per-view that a lot of people are going to consider ruined because of the finish to the main event. We'll get there eventually.
Okay, let's start there. Let's start there because it's the most controversial topic.
All right, let's start there then. In case you missed it, the basic build-up for the entire main event, Sami Zayn getting hung upside down, Braun Strowman getting his ass kicked out. Neither one of them are in Money in the Bank now. Well, what's going on? Did Braun Strowman hang Sami Zayn upside down? Wait a minute. What if it was Bray Wyatt that did it? Okay, I can accept it. Sure. And that means that we'll have a Bray run-in. All right. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Nuh-uh.
It was the Beast himself, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So, LeMans in our chat room goes, that ending is why ratings won't improve. No, that is why ratings will improve.
It's why ratings will improve for a moment. For a blip on the radar, they will improve. But it is a very, very temporary patch job and does nothing to address the core problems in the WWE, which is partially, well, majorly, fucking burying the talent you've got.
You definitely have very, very salient points. Now, again, LeBron's 88 is like, well, what are you guys talking about? How can that spike ratings? Because Brock puts asses in seats. Bottom line, it happens. It is going to draw the casual fan. You people in our chat room, you people listening live, you people listening to the archives, us people doing this webcast, we're hardcore, you know, the hardcore. We're the smarts. We're the
problem.
What's that?
We're the problem, really.
But we are the problem. Exactly. We are not the ones being catered to, and we're the loudest complainers of what we are given. This is the fact, okay? There's not enough of us to put money in WWE's bank account. Like it or not, it's the truth. Brock Lesnar is going to bring that casual fan back that has turned away. Yeah, it's a temporary band-aid. It's a blip. Now, here's the thing. I'm watching the pay-per-view tonight. Rock and I had a Skype chat going on about the matches, and we'll get to the perfect booking. There was one match that was, in my opinion, perfectly booked tonight because it, as a booker, it initially pissed me off, and then it hooked me. The resolution of it hooked me. We'll get there. I'll talk about it, and you'll see from a booker's point of view what I'm talking about. But this was a very, very well put together show for the most part, except for the, not how the main event was booked, but who it was booked for.
But here on the flip side, there's a show in 2 weeks. It needs a championship match. In one championship match tonight, you had a clean finish. So you can't do that rematch in Saudi Arabia. And it's been widely speculated that the Beast would be the one being challenged for that championship. This is how you
get. Well, how are you going to make him challenge for the championship?
This briefcase.
There you go.
It's logical. Now, we're all jumping to conclusions, especially the chat room right now, where, oh my god, Brock's going to be the temp champ again. We're not there yet. He's got to beat Seth again. And no one is saying that's happening. So, like, if it happens, it happens. But we're not there yet. All he did was win Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Expect it to be cashed in Saudi Arabia. Don't forget that that is real money, 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 money.
Which Saudi is
giving WWE.
Like, even that's a tremendous letdown because they don't need that. Brock doesn't need Money in the Bank just to have an excuse to book that match.
No, you know, they've already got Goldberg taking on Undertaker.
Here's the thing, like, Money in the Bank is supposed to be exciting for longer than a couple weeks, you know? Money in the Bank is supposed to be something that's a wild card. It's unpredictable. It's something you carry around and just kind of hold over the heads of every champion going, anytime I want, you know, and that can play to some great character moments. And it's also exceptionally handy to have in existence just in case somebody gets injured. Because if your champion gets hurt, that's a very quick, easy, and sensible way of getting them out so they can heal up. And they're going to burn that in not even 2 weeks. They'll burn it tomorrow night when they announce that that's what they're going to do.
But they've botched the last two men's Money in the Bank holders.
I mean,
it was
like Baron Corbin's been botched since before the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, since main roster.
And Braun Strowman. They botched that one completely. Think about it. They did. They had a moment, and they held back on it.
So three for three?
But they're doing this two? This one's going to be done right. Whether he wins the title or not. It's done right.
But he shouldn't need it. She shouldn't. The thing is wasted on him because it takes away the spirit of the Money in the Bank in the first place.
What you want to see Drew McIntyre run around with that for months now? Is that
kinda? That's more interesting. It gives him something to do besides pal around with Baron Corbin for no fucking reason.
But can Drew earn the title shot on his own then?
I mean, he hasn't yet.
But he could.
He could. But he hasn't.
But he could. That's the thing. They've devalued the briefcase for the men for 2 years. The theory was this year is going to be different. It's not.
No. How much value does it have when your Money in the Bank holder sat on his ass in the back for the entire match, waited for six guys to absolutely murder themselves, and only jump in the ring when the smallest guy was going up for the briefcase? So not only does this Money in the Bank briefcase look pathetic by its recent history, it also has a weak looking holder, even though it's Brock Lesnar. You've managed to devalue Brock Lesnar because he took such a cowardly route.
Or he was an opportunist.
It's Brock fucking Lesnar. He doesn't do opportunity. If he came out and demolished all seven and just, you know, suplexed the shit out of every single one in that match, then climbed up and no one could stop him because everyone's dead by his own hand, that's great. That's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not, I'm gonna wait until everyone's already dead.
They tried something? It's different. That's the best. I'm not angry about it. I'm just trying to look at it from their perspective, what they're trying to do. I'm not enraged with Brock winning. I thought it was amusing.
Because it was Brock? Yeah, having him come out in the last second, not so much. If it was Bray, having Bray come out last second, that booking would have been perfect. That would have been more than just a little acceptable. It was a swerve as far as that goes because it was hinting that maybe it was Bray. But here's the thing, Bray's injured.
No, Bray's not injured.
Bray's injured.
No, Bray is dealing with a family situation at the moment.
Let the good times
thanks
roll.
To Whitehammer 57757 for filing. well, I'm reading the thing. But JoJo just gave birth yesterday to a premature baby boy, and she had some complications. That's where he's at. He's not injured. He was dealing with family stuff, which is probably why he was not the one running out.
Well, you totally destroyed the really bad joke I was going to make, so I'm not going to make it now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bastard.
Giving you facts.
Now you know how WWE fans feel. Stupid WWE.
All right, Mike, give us your opinion. Go.
What the fuck, WWE? Really good match. Beautiful spots. Money in the Bank ladder match. Ricochet. Wow. Finn took amazing bumps, and I'm glad he was safe with it.
He bounced so many times.
And I know he's sore. His back is sore.
Think about this. They've just traveled Europe for 14 days, and then he comes over home and does this.
Jesus. And then I was fearful because I thought Ricochet's leg got caught, and I thought he broke it.
I was worried about his ankle, yeah, when he got snagged in the ladder, thanks to Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I was rooting for Drew. I was like, oh, yay, Drew McIntyre. Wait, okay, cool. I'm cool with Ali. Here comes the pain.
Shit, who did I pick to win this?
You'll find out Thursday on the rack. That is the official update from the intern.
A good match and Vince teabagged it.
There's part of me that even wants to question the good match part because, yeah, they went out and killed each other. There were so many huge spots. I'm getting a little bored of Money in the Bank ladder matches. Like, I'm getting a little bit bored of, oh, the next spot needs the ladder to be 90 degrees this way, even though it makes no sense for me to turn the ladder 90 degrees right now. Exactly. I'm tired of, oh, I'm going to bridge this ladder to the rope and another ladder and not do anything with it. I'm just going to do it because a spot 2 minutes from now needs that. And I'm going to do the same thing outside against the apron and the announce table. And I'm just going to leave it there.
And then Randy Orton. Oh, wait, Randy Orton's in the match? Yeah, there's an RKO happening.
Well, we'd say that about anyone's finish, really.
Well, but in the Money in the Bank ladder match, you already know there's going to be a catch RKO. We already know that.
And it was like not, it really wasn't that great.
It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't enough room because Drew McIntyre is tall. And
he's not, he's also not a high flyer.
That too. So he did the best that he could as a powerhouse. But yeah, thanks, Vince. What a way to stick it to us, you know? teabagging all over the Money in the Bank ladder match finish. I'd have been fine with Ali, Drew, or Finn. I'd have been fine.
Not Andrade?
No.
Why not?
Night. At the W, at WTR Oreo. He has to speak English more.
But that's not a reason.
I'm kidding.
No, I really want to know. What don't you like?
Okay. Andrade, okay. I do see Andrade winning the championship or Money in the Bank. Just not yet.
Why?
For the simple fact is that I really think he needs to do more. And
oh, you said you'd be fine with Ali.
Yeah.
I would be fine with Ali because he
joined SmackDown, what, 2 months ago?
Well, before the injury. He rejoined SmackDown.
Andrade's been around a lot longer on the main roster.
And he was also an NXT champion.
Yeah, that means dick to Vince McMahon.
But no, it doesn't mean, not to you, not to Vince, to you. What does he need to do more of? What is it that you don't like? That's the question.
I don't see Andrade winning the ladder match because I don't think that's something for him to do. I really think that if he wanted to make a statement, do it one-on-one. Andrade's not a ladder type person, but then again, nobody is. I guess I'm just not a believer of Andrade right now.
Okay. There are people who are ladder people. Their names are Hardy.
And where are they now?
Oh, well, one's nursing an injury.
And one's broken.
There you go.
Or woken or something, whatever.
We don't go there.
Yeah.
And they butchered the crap out of that. But
it was delightful.
Anybody but Brock.
anybody but Brock or Andrade, according to you.
No. Okay, anybody but Brock and Randy.
Okay. So yeah. So crazy spots, lots of fin bumps, and Brock Lesnar is your Money in the Bank holder for the men.
Lots of fin bumps.
And one ladder that totally wasn't made of wood.
Totally wasn't. The one spot that got the fans chanting Yowie Wowie was the sunset flip powerbomb by Andrade. Two fins on the ladder.
That was fucking scary because Andrade did not hook that ladder well enough.
No, he didn't.
And then
that turned into a fucking trampoline. And I thought for sure either Finn got his back slashed open or Andrade broke an ankle or something, because that was a awkward landing.
They got lucky.
Like Finn bounced and then bounced again.
Yeah, he bounced like 5 feet off the ladder and then landed on the ladder again.
Then the best moment of the match was the Spanish fly and then Michael Cole screaming, "What is wrong with these guys?" Because the Spanish fly, that's what's wrong with these guys, not the sunset flip.
Yeah. I mean, Cole, you've seen these ladder matches before, right? You've seen worse than this.
So much worse.
Okay, so let's stay on fucked up booking, shall we? Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio.
I mean, yeah. Okay, it's an inverse. It's an inverse of what they did before.
I have a question on that. How long was that match?
Way longer than Mania. It was planned for.
Okay, so then I don't feel bad because I kind of missed that match, and if it was that quick, that's a bad thing.
That was like less than 5 minutes, wasn't it, Rock?
Sure.
Just to double check, WWE made the decision to immediately call the match because of the blood coming from Joe's nose, according to PW Insider. Joe apparently suffered a broken nose during the beginning of the match after taking the senton from Mysterio. The match ended almost immediately after and WWE still went forward with the planned post-match angle that saw Joe beat Ray down while Ray's son Dominic watched.
Yeah, that's the bullshit excuse for fucking up the finish.
Yeah, because Joe's shoulder wasn't even remotely close to the mat.
Nope.
I think his right bicep was on the mat, and that was it. Or tricep. His right tricep was pinned, and that's it.
Was it the same ref that counted Ronda down?
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on.
I'm genuinely curious about that now.
Maybe. By the way, Chris Jericho, shut the fuck up.
Why, what did Chris say now?
No. Awesome to see Brock Lesnar win the Money in the Bank match, even though he wasn't officially entered. Brock is the future of the biz, and this is a perfect example of genius booking showing why WWE will remain on top forever. Hashtag go Brock go, says the guy who's maining and inventing a new company's pay-per-view on in 6 days as a part-timer. Boy, that's
okay,
a smart
comment.
Okay, so
he posts a sarcastic tweet and you're giving him grief?
No,
because he's main eventing AEW?
As a part-timer, he's giving the same shit that he's going to be doing.
Totally different situation.
I don't buy that because Brock's a part-timer, is getting pushed to the main event in the championships all the time. Jericho's runs have not been about winning belts outside of the New Japan, outside of one in New Japan. Even that didn't last very long.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but he's juggling AEW and New Japan, correct?
I think he's done with that. He's done with New Japan.
He's working New Japan's one. He's facing Okada in 2 weeks. That's about it.
Yeah, aside from that, guys, is he just about the biggest name AEW has?
Not just about now.
Okay, no. He is the biggest name they've got. Of course, they're going to use him to get their promotion on the map. And this is a startup. Yeah. A totally different situation than Brock Lesnar in WWE.
Don't even
compare apples with bananas.
Jericho's not going straight into AEW for a championship match. Right. He's not walking in with the AEW world title.
And then only defending it 12 times a year.
Here's the point. Stop mentioning WWE. You're not with them anymore. That's my point. He needs to stop commenting about them and stick to his own business.
Fozzie.
That's the point. All of them, they need to focus on them, not WWE shit.
So in other words, stop at AEW.
Yeah. Stick to your own business, stop mentioning WWE.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to talking about WWE.
Yeah, let's do
that. Do we have to?
Yes.
God, pre-show. That's why we're here. Are you serious?
So, no, we'll get to the pre-show and stuff like that. Let's start with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio. The battle for Dominic. That's... what it is.
I'm very disheartened to see that. I'm disheartened to see that Dominic grew up watching TV the way WWE wrestlers watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is from the side where you can barely see anything.
Oh no!
Because WWE directors have no idea how to film somebody watching TV.
Sure do not.
So, I love the idea. I love the impressions. Like, you know, we could shoot them like when they're sitting down on like a bench or a chair and just shoot them from behind the TV so you can see the TV and them in front of it. But, you know, what could they be watching?
Who knows?
I think Dominic's watching the Game of Thrones finale.
No spoilers!
The Iron Throne is actually tinfoil chocolate.
There's not even 100 swords that makes that damn throne.
Oh, just wait till the finale. But yeah.
Shush.
But it's... I'm your Poppy 2K19. That's apparently it.
That's what it is. Also, let's talk about other interesting things. Tony Nese retained his title. Fun match.
Match, but nothing surprising there.
No one cared. fans
outside checked. Of the card, the car Daivari drove out.
Alberto Del Rio, what?
Thank you.
The Usos beat Brian Rowan, so I guess the Raw tag team is now challenging for the SmackDown tag title.
Wild card.
Speaking of titles, there's going to be a new title.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I would assume it's a wild card title.
How's that? I don't even know how that works.
No one knows.
Wild card championship.
Yeah, you defend it on every show every week. Who the hell knows? Make it called the TV title. That's fine.
The concern I have is the fact that they're pulling Mick Foley out of mothballs to present this.
Hey.
Star power.
He needed to do something else.
Oh, no. But the indication is, like, why is Mick Foley? What does his significance bring here? Because, like, when they introduced the women's championship to replace the Divas championship, it was Lita.
Let's find out. Where is Monday Night Raw tomorrow? Tickets. They're in Albany, which is really close to Long Island.
No wonder.
Foley isn't... That's an easy jet for Foley. There you go. That's why Foley. I would assume.
I just hope they're not doing a hardcore championship is all.
No, it's probably...
They wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't, because it's, you know, Samoa Joe just had his match canceled because he bled.
Isn't this the second time that's happened to him? I lost track. Where they had to stop a match because Samoa Joe had blood.
I don't know. I don't keep track of blood finishes.
Yeah. But anyway.
Joe had his nose flattened. He's not going to be able to pick that thing for a couple months.
But yeah, so Daniel Bryan did a clean job in the middle of the ring. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was a thing. Then you had Shane the Miz in a cage.
Inventive finish.
Slippery finish.
Another Shane McMahon gets fucking lucky finish. But I don't know. This feels like a soft... Oh, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
Skype notifications.
Sound like a hang-up.
Stupid Skype.
But no, it felt like such a downstep from the WrestleMania match, because the WrestleMania match depended on, like, chaos, which is fine for Shane, who is not... I was going to say not the best worker, but I'm going to shorten that. He's not a worker.
He's just...
He gets through a match, but he's not going to put on a match of the night. So, the gimmick matches should be his shtick if he has to wrestle, but this didn't play to his strengths.
He was okay.
It was okay. There's certain spots where I liked. You know, most of them had to do with Miz beating the shit out of him. I like the little cowardly crawl on his knees getting to the door.
Mm-hmm. It was enjoyable. The match wasn't...
I need that gif.
Go. It's out there somewhere.
Shane waddling.
You had Elias attack Roman with a guitar, sing for 10 minutes, Roman returns, spear, LOL, Roman wins.
Way to bury Elias.
And then I'm just going to say three words, and then I'm going to mute. Lucha House Party.
Oh, fuck me.
They were trying to get ready. They were trying to filler. That was a filler. I'm sorry.
That was a short pay-per-view. They needed something.
No,
it wasn't even that. They were stalling.
No, hold on.
No.
He has a comment. Let him make his comment.
So, Lars Sullivan. Lars has spent the last couple weeks facing the allegations that he made a lot of racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, sexist, bigoted comments online, and we find out WWE tried to sweep it under the rug. It didn't work. Lars admitted that it was his comments when he could have said it was it wasn't him. And he's been facing backlash for it all this time. Social media has been grilling him, and he's, yeah.
He was man enough to own it.
Fresh off of this, while the heat is still on him, WWE decides to have him beat up three Mexicans.
Yowie wowie.
The phrase tone deaf comes to mind. Read the room comes to mind. Like, I'm not saying that he has to exclusively beat up white cisgendered men now, but could you give it a week? Maybe let the heat die off a little bit? Just maybe? The thing of it is, like, you find, like, I read more into this, because this pissed me off all over again. I read more into this, and apparently the reason why WWE fined him so much instead of firing him, because, you know, some guys get drummed out of WWE for making a racist comment, let alone, you know, 100 of them. Some people get drummed out for that, but not Lars, because they don't want their people going anywhere else. They don't want AEW picking up any of their stars. Lars is a fucking nobody. He has done nothing. He has accomplished nothing. He is brand new to the main roster because he had an anxiety attack caused by worry that people would find out this shit. That was another little revelation that was interesting to read. So, the anxiety was probably called for in this case. So at least that's one thing he actually got right. It's just, I don't get why they protect him so much, because you want him to be a new monster, but you know, look at his stats. He's not even that big. He's not like, you know, a Big Show or a Kane. No, he's like just over 6 feet. You know, he's not, you know, I think Drew's bigger than this guy.
Drew is bigger than
he is.
Right.
He's 6'7".
I don't get why a complete nobody has this, you know, is still going to be representing WWE. They're still going to be pushing him to the moon.
Lars has pictures of his mother with Vince McMahon.
I don't know.
Smart-ass comment, but you explain it. You can't. Nobody can.
I don't fucking... All of this just feels really just unsettling. Lars should not be employed right now.
Hulk Hogan, you alluded without naming him. How big a star was Hulk Hogan when he got that kicking?
Here's the thing. He's the star.
He made it to legend status long before the 21st century started.
He's the reason pro wrestling made it on the map. He was the original larger than life hero.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He is the reason.
One racist comment said in privately recorded conversation that he wasn't aware of. Drummed that, out.
Yep.
All the shit Lars said. And not just against African Americans. He went very white supremacist in a lot of these comments.
He went stereotypical 1930s, 1940s German, basically.
No. Slap on the wrist, gets to keep his push, gets to stay on TV, gets to continue representing the company.
Nobody has an answer.
The only reason I have is, have you seen the indie circuit lately? Is they are full of small guys who are extremely talented wrestlers, but they aren't the model that Vince McMahon likes. Lars is one of the few guys that has come along recently that is the model wrestler that Vince likes.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's desperate to hold on to any that he can get.
Very desperate. I don't know. It is... let's move on.
Yeah, can we talk happier topics?
Well, if we're going to talk about happier topics, let's... We're not going in any type of order, are we?
We started with the main event.
We did. So then let's go ahead. I want to talk about the WWE Championship. AJ Styles Universal Championship. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. Wow. Good pace. To me, it's an instant classic. And I love it because those two actually know, like, the fact that they got reunited to face each other one-on-one again, it's really good. Hey guys, two ROH guys are contenders and top champions. Let that sink in. To me, so many sequences that happen, and I love it because they know how each other goes. And if some of you weren't paying attention, their ring gear, disrespectful. With the gold and black and white. I liked it. I liked the Universal Championship match. That was probably, wrestling-wise, my favorite wrestling match. I give it 8 out of 10.
When you're dealing with two guys the caliber of AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, you really don't expect anything less. That's the minimum of what I would expect out of those two.
Right.
Definitely match of the night for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no contesting that. There's no protesting that.
Mm-hmm. And then it was a great fact of, you know, respect that they did after the match. That was really good.
Yeah, because I get the feeling some are, and well, I don't get the feeling. Like, I've seen where people are waiting for, like, heel AJ to come back.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. When the handshake was happening, I kind of looked back and went, "How wide is Seth Rollins' legs being held right now?
Yeah,
is it enough room for like a third leg?
For a slap on the third leg? No. Okay, this is a real thing.
You could ask Becky."
Mm-mm.
She would know if he has a third leg. I'm just.
I don't mean that third leg.
I'm just saying.
I mean AJ's third leg. Oh, AJ. I mean, not that third leg. That I mean, an actual leg that belongs to AJ that would be the third. You know what? No, it's a kick to the nuts. I was waiting for a kick to the nuts.
So you were talking about that third leg then, in theory.
No, I was talking to the. I was talking about the third leg's neighbors.
Oh, okay, the neighbors.
The neighbors.
The neighbors.
Anyway, what's next? What do you guys want? Did you guys cover Kevin and Kofi yet?
Not yet.
Let's talk about
that. That was another A-plus match.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It really was. And I made the comment to Rock again in Skype chat during, like at the match, at the conclusion of the match. Huge props to Kevin Owens for working his ass off to make sure that Kofi looked legit.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing a really good job with making him look believable. And Kevin just went that extra mile tonight. He deserves dinner for that. You made a comment because actually doing wrestling stuff, Mike, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was Kevin. Well, both of them made each other look good, but Kevin really made Kofi look like $1 million. And I loved the fact that Kevin can play both heel and face. And the way that the story was built, I like it. Classic. Yeah, I'll join you. You know, Big E's not here. And I loved it that they use, you know, Big E's gone. You need a third man. Boom. Psych. This is where we are. And for it to end like that, pretty solid. I liked it.
We do acknowledge that that was a last minute decision because it was supposed to be Brian that he continued to feud with.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how long Brian would be out for. Like, I was kind of looking forward to face Kevin Owens because it's something we've not seen since, you know, really since the NXT days. And even that was relatively brief.
Yeah.
You know, he plays heel a lot, but he can play a good face when you're given the chance. And like, I liked that, like, you know, everyday, like, you know, like the everyday man dad character he was going for. You know, I liked the vignettes with him and his son. Like, I'm disappointed. Like, as good as Kevin Owens is, and he is fantastic. You know, and yeah, he made Kofi like so good tonight. I really was looking forward to that face run.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And. Oh yeah, but I A plus. I give it an A.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Owens, as entertaining as he can be as a babyface, it pales in comparison to his accomplishments as a heel.
Mm. I mean, you could give him accomplishments as a face.
And now I would like to literally think and talk about the thank you wrestling Jesus moment of the night. And it starts with the WWE Women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
The perfect booking, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Because, yes, it took me for a ride. So, starting with the Women's Money in the Bank, aside from... I liked everything they were playing with this match. You know, I even like taking Carmella out of it for a while just to kind of take that, just to make it a little bit of a wild card thing there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about that eclipse?
Yo, but that was, oh.
When's the last time you heard a women's match get the holy shit chant?
It's been a while. It's happened, but it's been a while.
It's been a long while. Wasn't it? Well,
over a year.
Okay. Yeah. But it was great. It's freaking great. We can't.
Ronda Rousey, WrestleMania last year.
Eh. I don't care. I'm sorry. Ronda. Eh. You know, enjoy your vacation, Ronda. You know, whatever you got to do.
She's making babies.
My statement exactly.
Nothing wrong with making babies. I mean, I do my best to go through the motions all the time. You know, practice makes perfect.
Well, Ronda can't do that with a broken hand.
Oh. I would get mad at you, but that was a good comeback.
No? 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 Okay.
No, that was too good for me to get pissed off.
But yeah, perfect. It was entertaining, good spots. And yes, as far as the eclipse, I'm glad that it was a veteran that took it, Natalya.
Well, I would hope a veteran would take something like that, because
I mean, hey, you know, it's a spot, and people get carried. Believe me, if it's a high risk spot, people get like carried away.
It's also not really a spot that one would have a lot of practice with, because the eclipse is already a really weird spot, because it's a top rope corkscrew stunner.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the back, Stone Cold Steve Austin is smiling and nodding.
I honestly want to prefer. I honestly want to like someone like ask Stone Cold, whose do you prefer, Ember's or Kevin's?
But everything was good, match went well, and then the
finish is so good here.
Yeah,
so you've got Sonya, who's not in the match, trying so hard to get Mandy. Like, I almost had Ellsworth flashbacks, because I thought she was going to go up to get the briefcase and just toss it down to Mandy. But no, she's literally carrying her up the ladder.
Freaking sweet. It was so sweet.
And I love the look of horror when Bailey meets him at the top, and Bailey has the murder look in her eyes.
She was like, I'm going to win this. Threw them off. Grab the money in the bank, briefcase, boom, you're winner.
Read lips after this match, after this, because the words out of her mouth were, it's about fucking time.
Yeah.
It is about fucking time.
Yeah, for a lot of us Bailey fans, yeah. it's about fucking time.
I've been so upset with her booking, and just because we know how good she is, we've seen NXT Bayley.
Yeah.
Like, we know what she's capable of if they'd actually, you know, take her off the chains a little bit.
Yeah. And now, I can't say anything about that yet, because I want to talk about the next lead up.
One last thing about the women's Money in the Bank match. One last thing about the women.
Yep.
One at a time, kids.
Please never do the Three Stooges spot again. Because you know what? It's amusing, and from Nikki Cross, it's appropriate. But watching six women just run face first into a ladder, and not one person being smart enough to go, "I'll go for her legs." How about that? But see, this is where like I like that match. I kind of like that match better than the car wreck match that the men had, because there were spots that were kind of unique. Naomi, who's dressed as a freaking Teen Titan tonight for no reason, like doing the splits to evade two ladders crashing into her. That's good. That's a unique spot. You know, and I don't see Drew McIntyre doing that.
This particular spot of which you speak, I missed.
Aw, it's a good spot. The women had some good spots in the match.
Unfortunately, I missed it. I caught up the winner.
Okay, so Women's Money in the Bank takes us to... This is where someone chimes in. You know, so it seems like we've kind of prepared here.
Where did the... what's his name go?
I'm right here. What are you talking about?
No, the other what's his name.
Jeez.
Where's Rock?
He said
what?
He said he was going to go mute after he said what he said.
I think that was during Lars. We passed Lars.
Yeah. Yeah, a while back. I do want to talk about Becky Lynch's matches, one right after the other.
So let's talk about it.
The first one, defending the Raw title against Lacey. Lacey looks way better than I had any right to expect that she would. A few rough spots, right?
Lacey still has some green on her. She doesn't know where to stand to take a high spot. Because both times Becky jumped off the top rope while Lacey was on her feet, and Lacey was about, I'm going to say, at least a foot or two farther back than she was supposed to be.
But, yeah, no, this is true. And like I say, a few rush spots. She looked way better than I was expecting. That being said, I mean, there's still some green that needs to be polished out. But, you know, Lacey at this point in her career is miles ahead of Nia Jax.
Well, that's an understatement.
It's a low bar there.
That's a very low bar, yes, but Nia Jax has been pushed like crazy.
Well, she was pushed like crazy because she was the monster of the women's division.
Yeah. But, I'm failing to get my point across. I really am. Sure, I'm gonna try it again. Lacey looked really good for being a rookie noob, and I think that she performed better than most of us were expecting her to, aside from the rough patches. No surprise Becky retains the title.
No, her shoulders were far, far more down than Joe's.
Just a little bit more down, yeah.
I do like that Corey Graves was pointing out that, like, the refs are way off tonight.
A couple of times, yeah. But Charlotte coming out immediately and saying, okay, let's do the SmackDown Women's Title match right now. Becky with the option to just walk away and say, no, we'll do it later. No, she steps into the ring like a trooper, and good booking. Now, this is the example, this whole thing, starting with the match with Lacey and ending the way it did. When all was said and done, is perfect booking. This is not from a fan's point of view. This is from a booker's point of view. I put on my booker cap for this match. Again, Becky, Charlotte, what did you expect? You got pretty much what you should have expected to get. What pissed me off? Charlotte winning. Oh, look, they gave the title to Charlotte again. More flair favoritism. Enough already. Jeez. I mean, somebody interrupting me here.
Slow your tits. We talk a little bit.
Well, I was just going on with it, but go ahead. Yeah, your turn.
Oh, I mean, I agree with the booking to this point.
Yep.
Okay. So it makes Charlotte look advantageous. That's good for the heel. It makes Becky look tough because she didn't back down from the challenge.
Yep.
In the finish, she saves face because Lacey got her from behind.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. So we're on the same damn page, which is, you know, get out of my head or whatever. Yeah. But
I understand. I understand that it is difficult for both Becky and the writer to have one woman with both belts because it means it doubles Becky's workload and travel schedule. And it's, you know, trying to write two stories together, one for Raw and one for SmackDown. But I am stunned that for as much money as people were making, off of the Becky two belts.
Yep.
That they cut the legs out after just a month.
This quickly. Yes and no. It wasn't something that could be maintained for very long. And you already listed most of the reasons why. But the fact that Lacey came out with the interference with the refs back turned counting Charlotte, you know, that was excellent. That was part of the perfect booking.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm basically backing up your point.
I think it just would have been more establishing. I think if Becky had walked away with two wins tonight. Like, there's literally part of me is like, depending on who wins Money in the Bank, I kind of want her to defend her belts three times tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want superhumans built up in company instead of buying them from UFC.
Yeah. But this is where, you triggered my next point. Bailey with the briefcase comes running out. And I'm like, oh shit, she's gonna take advantage of the fact that, Becky was just double teamed after the match and she's gonna pin Becky. No, she's defending Becky.
Well, okay. Well, at that point, Becky is just the Raw Women's Champion. She can't cash the Money in the Bank in for that. They established that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I missed that part. But yeah, right.
She was coming to Becky. Essentially, she was just coming to Becky's rescue because at that point, she's being double teamed by the Blondes.
Yep. But the fact that she took out Charlotte and then decided to cash in, well, all of a sudden, I'm not pissed off anymore.
I mean,
over the booking. And as soon as she decided to cash in, I saw exactly where they were going with it. Mm-hmm. And this is where I call perfect booking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is the ride. Cause yeah, I got really upset that they took a belt off of Becky because I really wanted her to run with both belts a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them giving it to fucking Charlotte again. But
yep.
This play, Bailey comes out. She runs off Lacey. Charlotte gets a little bit too cocky and eats a turnbuckle.
Yep.
A mean one too.
You know
it
what?
It was a good bump.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is one of those bumps where like, okay, I can believe that she's knocked out for this long. But yeah, like it's a little bit of a roller coaster in that the entire women's division for 2 hours of that show. There's part of me who's thinking like, God, like everything happening right now is so chaotic. We've got two women's championship matches, now a third, three in a row now. We've got two title changes going on. We've got Elias smashing Roman in the back with a guitar that sounds like Thor's hammer. We got Sami Zayn strung up in the back. Braun Strowman's getting pinned for it, but we don't know who really did it. God, there's part of me thinking like, wow, they are going all out tonight for whatever reason. And then I look at the time. Oh, Game of Thrones is in 5 minutes.
That's the good thing about having both the West Coast and the East Coast HBO feeds.
But no, like I'm thrilled that Bailey's got the belt. I'm really happy that they played it this way because any other time it would have been so logical. If Becky had won both matches, it'd still be logical to cash in then because she's just been through two championship matches. Who wouldn't cash in? Well, it's Bailey. Bailey wouldn't cash in. She wouldn't do that to someone she calls a friend. She wouldn't do that to someone, be that sneaky and advantageous. But you know what? Charlotte's being a bit of a bitch. So, okay. Okay. So this way she's not cashing in on a face. So it's not like Bailey's turning heel or anything. This way she's getting one over on Charlotte Flair. And we can all agree that you get one over on Charlotte Flair anytime you want. We're not going to hold it against you.
There you go.
Yeah, what's next?
I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird when we're not following, like, the actual order.
We covered everything.
We're just jumping all over the place, but, there's sometimes a little bit of chaos is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can be most entertaining, but I blame Rock for basically jumping all over the place, and the reason for that is because he insisted on talking about the main event first.
On one hand, I don't mind getting all the aggression out, like, so soon after seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's preferable to, like, fuck, I gotta wait. I gotta wait for this. Dun, 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 dun. I actually have to talk about the Lucha House Party segment first. Dun, 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 dun. No, I got to talk Lesnar bullshit while I'm still good and angry about it.
There you go.
Damn it.
And that's it.
Speaking of disappointing outcomes, what was my predictions?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question. Because
I know I did not do well this time.
None of us did.
As mentioned earlier in the show, when Tim made some comment, what did I do?
What?
Thursday. What? Tune in Thursday to the Rock, 10 p.m. Eastern.
We're not going to find out the pick 'em results.
We usually have them the night. What the fuck else are you doing, Brent?
Game of Thrones.
What's more important than us?
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
He's watching Game of Thrones.
I'll spoil it for your ass if you don't get back to work.
He watched it already, so he didn't see the pay-per-view.
I'll spoil the pay-per-view then. I just did. Never mind.
I think, for those of you who didn't see the pay-per-view but tuned in to listen to us, consider the pay-per-view spoiled.
But yeah, overall thoughts. Overall thoughts. How would you rank this pay per view? Decent, solid, above average.
It was a decent pay per view. There's going to be a lot of bitching, crying, and complaining, especially in social media. Oh, Brock Lesnar's Money in the Bank winner. Wham, wham, wham. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth if you're that anti-Brock Lesnar. Just calm the fuck down, relax, and let it play out. Let's see what happens. I don't think we're gonna get too much out of it after the greatest whatever they call it.
Super Showdown.
And that's it, the Super Showdown.
In 2 weeks.
And
in
generally, two weeks. Yeah, the Money in the Bank briefcases are supposed to be, oh, you know, like anybody can cash it in at any time, and then they hold on to it for 11 months.
Yeah.
But I guess we're done?
We're done. Pretty much taken care of for the night, yeah?
All right, let's go.
That being said, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw's Raw Post Show, tune in to hear what happened.
Yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern, we'll give you the Raw Post Show.
Yeah. Geez, there's nothing on Tuesday.
No, you're wrong.
Are you going to say Fortnite with friends?
No. 10:30.
Are you going to talk about the Miz and Mrs.?
There you go. The Rock Extra Reviews, Miz and Mrs. drops every Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And speaking about The Rack, hey, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show returns with the multi-time, multi-award-winning hostess who finally got her cabinets, Lindsay Ward.
Everything's coming together. Yeah, we'll be live Thursday night to talk Money Bank, NXT, SmackDown, you name it, we'll have it on The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews, 20 Years and Counting, or SmackDown, 20 Years and Counting. That book review is now available. Check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Self-Help, the Al Snow book. That review is now available all at WildTalkRadio.com and RockRadioShow.com.
Holy shit.
We did 4 shows last week. 4.
Yeah, but I just realized something.
Hmm.
15 years of Wrestle Talk Radio as of this month.
Hot damn.
A decade and a half of me doing this damn thing on Sunday nights.
Amazing.
With a little time off here and there.
Little breaks. Little gaps.
I deserve it after 15 goddamn years. I should be like Johnny Carson. Show up every 4 shows. Wait, I am doing that,
that
now.
That is your
schedule. That's what I'm doing.
It's the schedule.
He's gonna Jericho us.
I'll start my own radio show, a different one.
What is with you Canadians just wanting to show up every now and then?
There you go. And just Brock Lesnar this bitch. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual. The fanboys coming to town, CB Radio.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight. CB Radio, we're doing the Great Debate on a timely topic. We did Fruit last night. This week, we're doing a thing about a show that ended called Game of Thrones? Yeah, Game of Thrones. We're doing who's the greatest Game of Thrones character of all time. There's Saturday night, midnight-ish.
Something like that. And of course, if anything happens during the week, we'll put shit together and do a live webcast next Sunday night. As it stands right now, I don't know if there's any news because the week hasn't happened yet. So just pay attention to social media, and you'll find out. Of course, it'll be probably announced by Thursday night on the Rock Radio Show. Rock will probably put in a little plug if we got something planned and in concrete by then. Speaking about social media, follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Facebook. Check out our pages, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio, Russ Talk Radio, of course, at WTR Sunday Night. Speaking about Twitter, I'm there not once but twice because it's so goddamn nice. Follow me at Flames Forums for the safe shit, for the uncensored, explicit stuff. And no, I'm not talking rated X, but I'm talking about you're going to get my opinions full blast at Voicing Sanity, not voice insanity, but voicing sanity. Voicing as in speaking, orating. Sanity as in Sane at Voicing Sanity on the Twitters. That's me. Omega, where are you?
I'm in Florida.
On the social medias, aren't you everywhere as TJ Omega except for Facebook where you're TJ Reviews?
Technically, yeah. I've got other social medias where I'm not TJ Omega, but the ones I'm active on, I am TJ Omega.
Wow, I was like almost right completely.
Yeah, except for the parts where you were wrong. So,
well, that's usually what happens. If you're not winning, you're losing.
If you want to keep up to date with me over on Facebook, search out TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for a bunch of videos that YouTube doesn't want you to see, they are over at TJOmega.net.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike. You should do shit on Twitter.
Yeah, I should. But, you know, you can hit me up on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo. Fuck the revival. You could also hit up, I'm doing stuff on the YouTube, Powerhouse Championship Wrestling, fuck the revival. And I'm
WWE is doing a fine job of that.
Yeah, clearly. And then I'm doing thing on Facebook.
Proof that WWE listens to us.
That was fun. Dragon on a Wrestling Facebook. Let's get out of here.
I'm done. You're done. We're done. Have yourselves a good night, everybody. Enjoy the week. Hey, America, is it like Memorial Day or something tomorrow?
No.
Okay. When's your next week? What day is that?
Next Monday.
And what day is it?
The 27th.
Okay, genius. What stat holiday is it?
Memorial Day is next week.
There you go.
We've been saying that for two minutes.
We get the long weekend 1 week before you do. Tomorrow is Victoria Day here in Canada. So, hey, Canadians, happy Victoria Day, which, of course, is celebrated. It's the day that we set aside because Queen Victoria died. So, as a result, nobody has to go to work unless you work retail.
Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
Radio.com.